Today on Real Radio.
So number one, God is knowable. He says that of himself. The second thing is, you're to know him through Jesus Christ. That's the key. He is the key. Jesus is. Jesus is the key. John chapter 10, verse 30. You know it well. I and my Father are one. Literally. In essence. In nature.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 14, and we'll be taking a look at seven verses of this chapter, starting at verse 7, and hearing a message called, How Should We Pray? Now, this passage contains promises by King Jesus, as well as claims to deity, and instructions on how to pray. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Beginning at verse 7, he says there, If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you do not know me, Philip? Or he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And the Father, or that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a little boy. Like maybe every and any little boy, he wants a bike. And you may have heard this story. It's the best. He's asking mom and dad, Mom, Dad, I want a bike for Christmas. And he's got his dream. He's got himself already in his mind's eye. He's been riding that bike. In fact, it's almost worn out in his mind's eye. I want a bike. So he stays on them just like your kids stay on you. I want a bike for Christmas. And so mom says, you know what, Johnny, we may not be able to afford a bike for you. But he keeps praying. I want a bike. He's asking the Lord, I want a bike. She says, you keep praying. He says, I'm praying. So then he goes to dad, you know, divide and conquer kind of. Dad, I want a bike. And Dad, in unison with mom, son, we don't know if we can afford a bike. So as Christmas approaches, the specter looms ever greater. He may not be getting that bike. He sees it. He's sensing it. And just before Christmas vacation, she picks him up from school, and he's faithful with his little books and his brown bag. He gets in the car, and they head home, and she's going to stop at the store. And so little Johnny, he's going to sit and wait in the car. So off she goes into the store. Johnny sits there and he's looking around. All these kids are going home, not sitting next to mom in the car, but on their own bikes. And he says, God, please get me a bike. I want a bike. And just then a brilliant idea entered his mind. On the dashboard of the car, there was the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus, glued to the dash. He looks right, he looks left, he reaches up and gently caresses Mary holding baby Jesus. And just then and there, he bows his head and snaps Mary right off the dashboard. Puts baby Jesus and Mary in his lunch bag and rolls up the bag and folds his arms and says, God, if you want to see your son again, you'll get me a bike. Listen, sometimes we approach God like that in prayer. Oh, Lord, if you just give me that Suburban, I'll take the whole neighborhood to church. I've heard it, and I know it. I've prayed that one for years. God, you know how many people I'll go door to door with in my new Suburban if you just get it for me. But God's not like that. And many times we pray as believers and we're wondering, God, why aren't you answering? What's the deal? I'm praying. I've been faithful. I've kept at it. But listen, there is a way to pray. There is a how-to to prayer. Not to get what we want, but prayer is to get what God wants in this world. Here's the radical and wonderful thing about prayer. Prayer does an alteration on us. When we, as believers, is it safe to say, can I just assume? Don't mean to offend you if you're an atheist this morning, but I'm going to assume you're a believer today. In this gathering, let's just assume we're all believers today and we pray. If we pray and we're believers, we're Bible readers. If we're Bible readers, we know what God's will is. You take the word of God and you present that to the Lord with your request coupled with the Bible, and you pray, and that is effective praying, and that we pray Bible. God responds, and we have answer to prayer. We don't know how he's going to answer it. Sometimes we don't always recognize the answer, do we? But God will answer divine and willful praying in accordance with God's will. The Bible says that throughout Scripture. We so often, you and I struggle when we read passages of Scripture like this. Is there something deficient in my prayer life? Why are not my prayers being answered? Why isn't God answering this? And your answer to that question can vary. Number one, you're not praying according to God's will. It's possible, you know. The second thing is God is answering your prayer. It just hasn't happened yet. Or God has got to wait on your prayer, which I can't stand that one. Wait. I want a yes or a no, but don't tell me wait. Jesus introduces to us a dynamic to prayer that if we put our hearts and minds way back then, 2,000 years ago, for these disciples to hear what Jesus is saying is absolutely radical. You will now approach, he is saying, the Father in my name. Because hitherto they haven't, and nobody has ever been invited to approach the Father in the name of Christ. In knowledge of who the Father is and who the Son is, you pray and God will answer your prayers. Very important. We just have to be ready for the answer. Could God be doing something in your life that you're not approving of his answer? And yet he knows better than you and I? I don't know about your life, but in my life, that's basically how it goes. He doesn't consult me for anything. I'm running 25 feet behind him trying to catch up the whole time. But you know what? I love it that way. I love having the Lord out in the front taking the lead. In your note taking this morning, there'll be 3 points together as we study. The first one is this. Jot it down if you would. Verses 7 to 9. How should we pray? Number one, knowing the one to whom we're praying. Know the one that we're praying to. Say, well, I already know that. Well, listen, we need to be encouraged and instructed more about this. Jesus says in verses 7 through 9, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Verse 7, knowing Jesus is the key to the Father. You can circle verse 7 and draw a line up to verse 6. Why? Look what he says in verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what does he say? No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes that statement, and Philip's going to ask a question. No one gets to the Father in heaven but through Jesus Christ. Man, doesn't that sound narrow? It's narrow. Doesn't that sound exclusive? It's exclusive. Doesn't that sound totally not politically correct in our 21st century? Totally. It is not politically correct, but it is theologically correct. And that's the important thing. Jesus Christ is the absolute pinnacle and part and parcel to mankind having a relationship with God. There's no other way. So number one, we must know and be knowing the one to whom we are praying. And Jesus says it's key that you know him to know the Father. And there's no such thing of knowing the Father outside of Jesus. Many people get jobs and careers. Many people get positions where there are many others more qualified. There's always somebody more qualified. Did you know that? The job that you have? There's someone always more qualified. As a pastor teacher, everyone's more qualified. That's how I feel. And honestly, people say, oh man, the message blessed me so much. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Sure. I'm thinking, how did I ever survive that thing? There's always somebody, and that's the way it ought to be, because every one of us, frankly, are absolutely replaceable. Here's the cool thing. At your job, at your calling, at what we do, the fact is it's not always what you know. It's who you know. Well, why is that guy a vice president of the, you know, craft company? Because his name is Joe Kraft, that's why. It's who you know, not always what you know. And to get access to heaven is an awesome thing, because thank God, aren't you glad that if it was based upon what you know, Billy Graham and all those guys would be ahead of us in their request? But that's not the truth. The truth is, the most devastated Christian, the newest Christian, the most confused Christian, the most hurt Christian, the most whatever depleted Christian, can turn and say, Lord, like Peter, can say, help, and keep from sinking. God doesn't have a rouster of like, who's that whining up here in my ear? What status does this one fall into in my rule book and my ledger of the righteous lifestyles and faithful of these? No. Cry to him. In fact, the Bible says that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't somehow file your heavenly email in some later file. Oh no, as a believer, you have access right away. We know to whom we pray. Verse 7, Jesus tells us here that he's the key. If you had known me, that's an experiential relationship, you would have known my Father also. So from now on, he says, you know him and have seen him. That's a statement of fact, by the way. The disciples don't get it. But Jesus informs them of something that they're not aware of yet. Hey, guys, here's the deal. You know my Father, and you've seen him. Now, that's a radical thing to say. This is a concept in their previous Judaism, which they were coming out of into the fulfillment of the Messiah, Christianity, that was radical to them. Jesus is here saying, the Father, me, we're inseparable. Two things you ought to jot down in your notes. Number one is this: God is to be known. 500 years before Jesus, Plato said that God, though he exists, cannot be real in that experience. God, though he exists, cannot be real in our experience. He can't be known. What good is there a God if you can't know him? Jesus comes on the scene and says, hey, not only is he knowable, but number two, you're to know him through me. So number one, God is knowable. He says that of himself. The second thing is, you're to know him through Jesus Christ. That's the key. He is the key. Jesus is. Jesus is the key. John chapter 10, verse 30. You know it well. I and my Father are one. Literally, in essence, in nature. Yes, there's the Father. Yes, there's the Son. Yes, there's the Holy Spirit. Yes, Old Testament to New Testament declares that each one of those persons are God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 that when Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, they lied to the Holy Spirit. Throughout John's Gospel and other New Testament books, the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is God. And the Bible says that the Father is God. Yet Judeo-Christianity preaches and believes that there's one God, and we do believe there's one God, who has revealed himself in three distinct manifestations, three persons. So I don't get it. I don't get it either. Nobody gets it. It's a mystery. The closest we can come to is that you, as a family, if there's three of you with the last name of Smith, and you live under the same address and the same roof, there's three distinct personalities Each of those are sovereign to that home. They share the same address. They live under the same roof, but it's one roof under one address, three distinct personalities with one name. That's as close as I can come. And I'm grateful, by the way, that we cannot describe fully the nature of our God. All the cults can, you know that? All the cults can describe their gods perfectly. That's because they're either deified men or they're a pathetic manifestation of what they call God. Our God is past finding out. Our God is so awesome that he's given us just enough information to get us blessed in this world, to bring as many men and women and boys and girls with us and to deliver us into heaven. And it will be for eternity that his glory will be revealed to us. I'm glad. So, well, I want to have more of God. That's a good prayer. And I want to understand more. I need to read another book. I need to read something else. Well, you can't even handle the book you got. Read the Bible. Well, I've read all the books of the Bible. I think I'm going to go read this thing from the Eastern mysticism group. Why are you going to do that? I'm trying to manage one verse of the Bible. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if Jack would believe in him, he would not perish. Friends, that blows my mind. I don't need another book to read. I need to master the Bible. Philip says, show us the Father, and we'll be happy. The word sufficed or sufficient. We'll be content with that. Well, you know what? That's not exactly true because we know the nature of man, but that's a great request, isn't it? Isn't that what you would want to cry out? You'd want to cry that out. Show us the Father. Great request. But I love the response more. By the way, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, who, that is Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible there says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born under the law, born of a woman. That's a radical and awesome statement, that Jesus came into the world. So when Philip says, show us the Father, really Jesus' response should not be surprising to us. But note this in your scripture. Jesus says something interesting. He says, from now on, you know him. God became a man so that Jesus might communicate to us what God is like. Jesus here is saying that the Father cannot be known without the Son, and the Son cannot be known without the Father. In Jerusalem, I have a man that I've had a chance to have Sabbath dinner in his home with his family. And he's a devout Jew, and he tolerates my faith. He says, I don't get it. I don't see how you get Jesus out of the deal. And yet we love each other, but he doesn't see it. Why? Yes, I'm aware that Paul says there's a veil over the eyes of the Jew today. I understand that. But the point is, according to Scripture, you cannot come to the Father any longer through Jesus Christ. You can even be the most devout Jew or the most devout Catholic or the most devout Calvary Chapelite. You can be the most devout whatever. And if you're trying to attempt to reach God without Jesus Christ, friend, you're not reaching anything. You're going nowhere fast. You're only religious. Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Listen, in verses 8 and 9, we recognize this. Knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. When Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus says, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I don't know. I thought Philip asked a pretty good question. But Jesus' response is better. All that the Father is, I'm the one. Listen, those of you who may struggle with an understanding of God, you don't know much about the Holy Spirit. You'd rather leave that alone because it kind of scares you. You don't know much about the Father because maybe you haven't taken the time to search and see. But Jesus, you can relate to. There's movies about him. There's documentaries about him. And your New Testament, the first four Gospels are all about him. You feel comfortable with that. But you'd rather not associate with the other two persons of the Trinity. My friend, you can't do that. Jesus reveals the Father to us. That's what he's telling Philip. Hey, Philip, don't you remember when the woman was caught in the act of adultery? And they drug her to me. And I said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, well, Lord, I don't think I have any. They've all gone. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That was the heart of the Father. That's the heart of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus did the healing, he only did the healing because the Father had told him to. That's why Jesus says, everything I do to please my Father. Jesus did exactly the will of the Father. If we wear what would Jesus do bracelets, it's not stretching the truth that Jesus would have worn what would Father do bracelet. Because that was his will, to do the heart of the Father in what he said and what he did. And 1 John 5, verses 10 through 12, the scripture says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 2, verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar, says the Bible, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. See, they're connected. They're linked. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See the connection? You can't separate them. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4 says this, and I love this. Listen carefully. That which was from the beginning, says John, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. The word means to gaze or to gawk at. The one who our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. You want to have joy? You got to approach God the Father through Jesus Christ. Period. And you see, if we're rebellious, if we're not submitting to God, this rubs us the wrong way. We're upset with this. Because we, in our human nature, don't like to be told what to do.
Yes, one of the fundamental Christian attitudes that we must adopt is self-denial. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called How Should We Pray? It's taken from John 14 and verses 7 through 14. We'll pick up with more of this particular study on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter Sunday, is coming up this weekend, of course, and so we extend that invitation for you to join us here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills here in Southern California. We'll be having one morning service only this Sunday, and it gets underway at 9 a.m., That's at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills once again this Sunday morning. To find out more, you can call us at 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. But of course, you can find out more information and directions online, www.realradioactive.org, and click on Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. Remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a missionary outreach of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and when you contribute financially, you are actually a team member in helping to get the word out across the globe. You can either send in a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, if you missed any of this information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.